Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back. And still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show. They be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back. And still I never be the same though. Mind, body and soul,
is you living?
We all under attack,
is you different?
I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner.
Gangs got their sights on him,
on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like how my pills said they took the wrong. That's kinda cold
when you think about it.
He shot a nigga, he ain't
think about it, didn't even blink about it.
But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it. Really trying to be about it,
never left his public housing,
which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was
prepping him back then?
Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back. And still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back. And still I never be the same though. Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence. Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma,
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstate for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed,
may he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me, knowing prison
danger.
Doing time with lifers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go up 50 times. Same excuse every time, serious nature
of the crime.
I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and I repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back. And still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back. And still I never be the same though.
Bismillah, in the name of Allah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulallah mubad, and all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, God, and we ask that his praise and salutations be upon his last sealed messenger and Prophet Muhammad to proceed. Welcome, everyone, to Sunday night's podcast, Point of Impact, as we're here today, the last night of the month of October. Here we are, October the 30th, what many would consider, I guess, what is this, Halloween night. So you have a lot of people walking around with masks on and things of this nature. We need to remove the masks. We need to start living in who we are. You know what I'm saying? I welcome everyone tonight. Big shout outs to Community United Focus Cuffs team, Victoria and Beverly. Big shout outs to, you know, Freedom Over Everything. You know what I'm saying? That's right. Foyah, they doing that work. Nadir, KD, and OJ, you know, and of course our sister Krista. And big shout outs to Defenders of Justice, my brother Hassan, Shabazz, and Mr. Phil Willato. I always have a problem saying my brother Phil Willato's last name. And you guys hang in there, because we're going to hopefully have Phil on the show real soon. And I am really anticipating this show, because this is a guy that I really want everyone to meet, and I'm not going to tell you nothing about him. I'm going to let him tell you about himself. But we have a powerful show tonight. We have my brother Fonzo coming on, whose name is also like my name, Minhaj. Hopefully he'll be joining us. And, you know, we welcome you all to our show tonight. Assalamu alaikum. May peace be upon you. Assalam, peace to you all. Krista and Hassan, you with us?
Oh, yeah. We're here.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We're right here with you, bro. We're right here with you.
That's right. And let everybody know that we are definitely working towards December the 17th, having a beautiful event. Point of Impact will be having their first annual fundraiser event, which will take place on the 17th of December, which is a Saturday. And it's going to be in Northampton at the Juice Bar. And listen, we'll be posting up pretty soon our flyers. Come on out. We're only asking for a small donation of $10 to the door. $10 to the door for the assistance and the work that Community United Focus Cuffs is continuously doing, along with Freedom Over Everything, FOE. And listen, we asking you to please come on out that night, donate $10, man, to come on out so that we can continue to do some of the work that we're trying to do with criminal justice reform and providing resources for brothers and sisters returning home. Okay? With that, do we have our guest tonight? Brother Minhaj, you with us?
Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi barakatuh. Okay. Yes,
sir,
I'm here. Is that brother, brother Shabazz, Rock Hassan Shabazz in the background?
you know what it is, my bro. You know what time it is, family. It is the one. Yeah, it is he. It is I. Indeed.
So, Brother Minhaj, you want to introduce yourself to everyone so that our listeners can know who you are and what you're about, brother, and why you came here tonight?
Yes, sir. I appreciate this presented platform to introduce myself. My name is Alfonso Dixon. Brothers in prison know me by many names because I was many men. But it's the only one that Brother Minhaj, when I took my Shahada, that kept me in reformation. It kept me in a straight and narrow path, and that's what we are on. So I try to stay on that out here. But at the same time, I was invited by Brother Minhaj, and with a little bit of nudging by Brother Rock. I call him Brother Rock, Brother Hassan. He is off to come up here and speak the only truth that I know. Any word come out of my mouth got to be the truth because the devil can't hold me out to.
Well, let me begin by asking you a question. And in the beginning of our show, we have our introduction song, which is written by Deuce Big, y'all. But it's talking about, in the song, he talks about, you know, the pain that he would never let go of throughout of doing his incarceration. Can you talk to us, because you too were formerly incarcerated, now you, by the grace of Allah, God, you're out here doing tremendous work. Can you talk to how the pain that you've experienced encouraged you and motivated you to do the work that you're doing now?
When we speak about pain, we're talking about a life-altering pain, or one that can be assimilated that you can walk around with on a daily basis, because pain to a human body can either be tolerated or it can also be a handicap for a person. The type of pain that I wish that the brother would never let go would be the pain that only he inflicted or he remembers from being inflicted by his victims and his own family from the missing loss and the time, the asa, by the time that he lost. So certain amount of pain, a man and a woman, they can endure. Our bodies are meant for that. We have nerve receptors and endings that will tell our brain, hey, stop, you're going to hurt your body. This body needs to stay around for the next 90 to 100 years, and I need for you to stop. So certain pain receptors will tell you to stop. it'll be for you to listen. It'll be for him to listen. I hope that the pain that he keeps that motivates him, there should be no motivating pain. It should be a driving force that keeps you away from the pain. Because remember what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after the struggle, then comes the ease. So don't overburden yourself by holding on to burdens and pains that are no longer negotiable in life.
That's right. That's right. Mm. Well said, brother. Thank you so much. That was very enlightening. Can you tell us what is the driven of inspiration, the drive of inspiration? Because a lot of these, you know, listen, people, I wanted y'all to know, this is one of the most passionate brothers I've met. Can you tell us why is it so passionate to you to do the work that you're doing right now, speaking and going back into the prison, speaking and things?
It's because when I was incarcerated, I didn't listen to that self-accusing spirit in my head saying, don't do it. I was so hard-headed, I wouldn't listen to my mother. My own mother told me to stay out of the streets, and I said, I ain't listening to you. And then I deceived myself by believing that I could willingly say no to myself and not cause anybody loss of life, limb, or otherwise. So I was 18 years old when I came into prison, and I had never been in a juvenile correctional center before. I had never even felt handcuffs on me before. But I had come from a whole family of men who, once they matured to a mature age and spent their whole lives in prison, I just happened to be the last on the list for my mother's womb. But when I was in there from 18, I stayed in there close to 26 and a half years. I went through the ups and downs. The first 10 years, the first decade, I was not at peace. I was not in a fertile resting place.
Right.
I didn't know what was what. And then the last 16 years, I was meeting brothers like that very good brother. Do not let his short stature and his bald head throw you, brother. Brother Hassan is actually a good brother. Because he understands what passion is. He understands.
Okay.
And I don't boast or brag or try to give you a roses while you're here, because it's said never to give a man praiseworthy like that. But I am saying this. Brothers like yourself, Brother Minhaj, who you can really see, were elders to us, even though you were only a couple of, what, state numbers difference? That made you an elder, a couple of state numbers? Because prison was the only place that time really took place. A person could be younger than you, but have an earlier state number, but his wisdom was outmatched yours. So having to rub arms with men, you know, and real men, you know, not 18-year-old boys in Southampton at Gladiator School. When I got into power 10, and when I started meeting the brothers that was coming out the wall, and I started seeing their love for their family, and their love for themselves, and their love for, it just started wearing on for me. Spirituality came next, but you know, I became I was around brothers like Brother David Young, that you might, whatever. But listen, no man that has ever did a day in the Virginia DOC can ever say that he wasn't passionate. That would be an outright
Right.
So I was just around a bunch of brothers who were like that, Brother Minhaj, and I just, I feel like giving back is not a quite good word for me. I can't give back. I can only push you forward and push you about it the same way I was pushing.
Okay.
I can't give back to no prison. I'm not going to get back to a prison nor a prison mindset. If that's what you like, three eyes to the cop walking around with your pants halfway up in Bronxes and thinking that canteen day is Christmas day every week. Then I'm going to leave you too.
Come on, bro.
But I tell you, there will be those lined up at people's like Brother Hassan door asking him about, hey, can you put me in a class to show me about how to self-improve myself, how to learn about penny stocks? There will be people that Brother Minhaj meet on the yard that he has no other, because Allah makes Muslims. And to go into a place like that, you can't give back to that place. That place was specifically designed by Allah to scrape a board and turn you into a man. That's what it does. It's your opportunity. It's your opportunity. I never seen a man cry coming out of prison. I only seen him cry when he saw his mom or his dad walking through the gates.
Yeah.
I never seen a man cry. Because you can't deny Allah's ability to take a man, put him through struggle and everything, put him in a firm resting place, and then give birth back to him to the world, something that is substantial, something that's hearted, something that's passionate. And I move now the way I should have moved 26 years ago, my first day in.
Let me now let our beloved sister and queen, sister Krista. Did you got a question you'd like to present to Brother Minhaj, sister Krista?
Yes, I just wanted to ask, what would you tell the youth today who are looking to earn those type of stripes, who is going down that path of doing wrong and look forward to comfortably entering in prison with blindsided of what is really goes on behind those walls? What would you tell, what would you say to them?
Sister, one of two things. Thank you so much for your question. I'm going to try to answer it very, very fast and speedily. The reason why is because the youth now today, they don't understand through their immaturity the very, very mature way that the earth deals with things that are not of this earth. Seasons change and the winds whip the trees and the sands and everything's made anew, but human beings were put here for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to serve God. If you go outside the nature, that you're going outside your own nature, and God has a way of dealing with you. So when it comes with the youth, because they have such an immature view of the world, you must be the realest person in the room when they are around you. They can't be, it's not really a point of choice. They can't be getting information from a school system, from a parent, and from a gang member all in the same day. That's too much school. That's too much learning. That's the reason why old schools thought certain type of ways, because all they had was they mammy, they pappy, they sadie all day long. That's all they had. They only had one instructor, one teacher. So it's getting them involved with something that will give them a sense of saying, you know what, I only have one instructor. Put a kid, you can put 50 lamb kids on a football field, I tell you what. They only got but one coach, though. Where y'all coach at? They point right at them. But we got these kids today. It's hard. Now, that's my complaint. It's a part two to it, and that should be your answer, since I hope that I'll be able to find your answer. I believe that when you speak to children, because that's how they are, because they're young adults, and when they make mistakes, you'd be like, that's so childlike. So when you speak to children, you say, well, how many friends you got? The child probably say, I got 10 friends. So let me ask you this. If somebody do something, kill one of your friends, what you going to do to them? Well, I'm going to get them and kill their friends. And I say, exactly. Now, what the hell you think they going to do in rebuttal? So don't tell me that you love your friends. Because if you love your friends, that means you love killing your friends. That means you in the business of making friends that you going to later kill out of your acts and your decisions, because it's to get back, and it's got to be one-on-one. It can no longer be these big auditoriums with these celebrities. It can no longer be, you got to do it like Denzel was tutored back in New York, a one-on-one, or him and his buddy had one tutor, so that you could be able to get it into them that the world is very mature and deals very harsh and drastically and swiftly with those people who do not mature at the rate that the earth gives. Matter of fact, it gives you a birthday every year. just to let you know and remind you, listen, hey, the season's done fully changed one whole year. I'm expecting you to be a little bit better, to be a little bit smarter, and to be a little bit more conservative with your ways and actions so that you can remain on this planet. But when you try to have these conversations with young adults, it's hard. It's hard to have these conversations because now we got to think about how the information is getting out there. But we don't want it. We don't want to. We don't want to offend nobody. I'd rather offend a person than kill a person any day. Oof. I would.
Hey,
I'll offend a person.
Brother Hassan, would you like to add on or say anything?
Listen, you know, me and this brother hold back. See, I want everybody to understand that when he came in, he made those comments of me because we have a kindred relationship, right? We've been through a similar experience. We travel the halls of those prison walls together, and many times, and collaborate on doing some wonderful and beautiful things. And see, I'm not going to speak about it, right? Because I think artistically, this man is brilliant. See, I remember him doing workshops in prisons where he was teaching guys how to draw, right? And see, so I'm going to let him speak about that a little bit. I'm not going to go too much into it because you already know we have a unique relationship. Anytime he can say,
a little bit steady on for my personal show. But sister, just one more thing, if I could just add this little tidbit. My grandmother was the matriarch, like the one person in my whole family. She just happened to be female that everybody listened to, regardless what her tutelage was. But my real answer to your question, I didn't want to say it, but now I feel like I'm empowered to say it because brothers let me speak without telling me be quiet. If we not learn anything, the black youth in this country have been being raised by a single mother. The father gone. Mother's been raising the black youth, right? I hate to say this. I listen to my grandmother solely. I would love for the black mothers of this world to take control of their kids and bring them under and let the men, tell the men, get out the way. I got it. For the last 30, 40 years, we've been raising these kids. But we've been raising them wrong because we've been keeping the hope alive that you was going to come back and do what you had to do. I know you're not coming back. Get out the way and let us raise these young men. Let us turn them into men because y'all can't do it. You're not going to do it. And it'll prompt the men the desire to come back and do what they need to do. You got to have ruling body, one ruling force to do it. Now, I'm not saying nationwide, but in communities where you have a lot of single mothers, I would love for the mother to take control of that, all the children, do everything in her power, even bring sisters, neighbors, everything, and just allow the females to hold the council, like Brother Sean was talking about, in the neighborhoods.
And you're absolutely right. The women by nature were nurturers, and the men in the household were the protectors. But a lot of times now, we're left without the protection, right? So kids now can fight their parents back. There's no discipline. You know, we can't discipline our kids anymore. That was taken away from us. And nurturing our kids, we don't nurture our kids no more. We got bottle feeders now. We got breast pumps now. We got rocking. We got baby chairs that rock the babies, and all we do is wind it up. So the nurturing, they have got this all these technologies to disconnect the mother from the child from the womb.
Very true.
We don't cradle our children no more in our arms. We don't hold them no more. We don't have we lost compassion for our own kids. I hate to say it. You say, "Oh, that's not bad," because that's the thing to say. But do we really? We have lost that connection. A lot of us. Postpartum depression is real.
We have become very desensitized as a nation, and I think that's basically what Krista is pointing out. Like, we have desensitized in all levels as a nation of people, and that is something that's why here at Point of Impact we try to bring it to a point that people can feel that impact and understanding the necessary need of us rebirthing and recultivating ourselves towards that sensensitivity that we once had, that our ancestors, our predecessors once had for us. You know what I'm saying? That's well said, everyone. At this moment, before we continue on, Brother Minhaj, I know you got work to do. We're going to try to get – yeah, we're going to see if we have any callers. Jay Sean, do we have any callers?
Not at this time, but if there's anybody on the line, would you please press 1 at this time?
Yes. Anyone that's calling in, if you wish to comment or add on and build in this conversation, please press 1 and we can include you into the conversation. Oh, we got one. Hello. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, peace.
Peace.
Who's speaking?
This is Sade. I was just listening. I just caught that on a few minutes ago. Caught the sister and some of what the brother said. You know, it's definitely a major disconnect with the youth at this point. You know, and you know. Some of it is on us. Some of it is, you know, beyond us. You know, I worked, you know, in the high school for a few years, and I realized that mothers was coming to school when their children had a problem with the teacher, but they weren't coming to school on the parent-teacher nights, you know?
Right.
So it was like they was more concerned with disciplining the teachers than disciplining the students.
Right, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and as you were saying, that, you know, there was a period of time when we were more connected. We were more connected where, you know, your mom could say something to me and I would listen to her as though she was my mom and vice versa.
That's right.
Now we have this thing where you can barely say anything to the children because they get so disrespectful, and they have built a fear factor. They've built a fear factor where some of us are afraid to even say anything because you don't know what they're going to do. You know? You don't know how they're going to react, especially with, you know, their new fighting technique. Their new fighting technique now is shooting. That's their new fighting technique. Mm-hmm. They don't even entertain hand-to-hand combat. They straight to the gun. You know, and it's unfortunate. However, you know, like the sister was saying, you know, the nurturing has been removed to a point where, you know, you can give them a laptop or something. You could wind a rocker up and things of that nature. And the other part is that the major part that we have to realize is, it begins with the man and the woman. And once the man and the woman is disconnected, the children don't have a chance, really. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
That's the other, you know, that's the other thing. So when you come, when even guys who meet a woman who have children, we as guys, we need to strive to connect with those children as we connect
that's
with
right.
that woman. But we don't. We
That's
don't.
Right.
We connect with the women and lead the children. You know, they are separate issues. And the women have to demand that. The women have to say, look, you come into my life, it's a package deal. You know what I mean?
That's right.
You deal with me, you have to be willing to deal with my children as well. And women can, you know, as men, we want to please the woman. Go ahead, go ahead.
Well, that was, and Shadi, that was a great build. Mihad, you wanna respond to that, brother?
Yes, sir. Number one, brother Shadi, I appreciate you. There's a difference between hearing and listening. You know, I can hear, you know, right, if I listen, good enough. You know, but listening takes a different art, a different capability to be able to enrapture the sounds that you're hearing. And then dissect them and make them into an intelligible thought, you know. And brother listens very well because it's almost verbatim what we talked about. What he said and it sparked something inside of me was, you're right. The way that we came up, we were told that women based their decisions on what level, brother Minhaj, what level, brother Sebastian. They based it upon what level? Emotional level, right? And that men are supposed to be wise, you know, and we based our actions based upon an intellectual level. It goes right back to my point. For the last 30, 40 years have been a lot of women raising men. Men are no longer doing an intellectual check down when they get disrespected in the club. You know how they're acting?
Right.
From an emotional level. So it's when you have more black mothers out here, single mothers raising kids, and they're giving them the best that they got. They're giving them the best that they got. They even working with the people and WIC and letting the people do everything to them and get their names and numbers and ride them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
True.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
We got to come out of our mouth and say that the black woman is not exceptional.
Come on, man.
Yeah, we got enough nerve to come out of our mouth and say that the black woman is not exceptional, that she didn't do a good job because she's killing. I say that we left for no other choice. And you're right, brother. Mm-hmm. It comes with a whole another power. It's bigger than us. We can only get in our ego and think that we got the answers to that question. We really don't have it. It's in God's hands. It's happening to us because Allah has ordained it. Right? And how did we do it in prison? We got out of our way. We got out of our way by taking our shahada, by living ourselves in a more splendid life.
I know, brother Minhaj, that brother Minhaj is working right now, y'all. So I'm going to let him get back to his job. Beloved, thank you so much, man, for calling in. And as I knew you would, fill us up with this wonderful advice, this nasiha that, you know, I'm so grateful to Allah to receive from brothers like yourself, and I want to just thank you. But would you like to give any closing words before you leave us tonight?
Absolutely. I would make my travels this week to Cold Springs Correctional Center and go back and speak to those men in their predicament because they're going to be returning citizens soon. And I'm going to show them, like Neo at the end of Matrix, right? Remember the very first Matrix? Neo went to the telephone. He said, "What you about to do?" He said, "I'm about to show him everything's possible." Over there, right in the middle of everybody, right? But that's what I'm going to do.
Right.
I'm going to go there, and I'm going to show them that a man who never finished high school, never went to a college correspondence course, I stayed in the library. I got my contentment from being almost an entomologist. I love words and dictionaries. When I came out here, I used to make a gap, and I sell timeshare. I make six figures a year. When I turned in my first, in 2021, I turned in my first to H&R Block, and the lady said, "I think either you're a drug dealer or you're an illegal immigrant because you're 46 years old and you've never paid taxes your whole life. Here's $112,000 that you made from Hilton." I'm going to show them that it's possible to do better than me. No, don't do me.
That's right.
It's possible to do better than me. But that's financially.
Come on, really, man. That's
but
right.
I just want brothers and sisters to remain vigilant all times, be on your post. The enemy is real, and it's trying to take every single thing from you. They're not observant. They're not vigilant. All right?
Oh, wow.
That,
thank you, brother.
I said, some of the pieces say, and I hope all is well, and I hope a lot of people give you guys good, honest feedback and get some of that stuff off their chest so they can get more stuff into their head. You know, the more stuff you get off your chest, the better. All right?
Oh, man. Thank you, beloved. And may Allah spend what dollar keep you safe. And, you know, I love you, brother. And I think I speak genuinely for Hassan and Krista. We love you. And we're here to support you. And, thank you for giving us your opportunity, this opportunity to speak with you, brother. And be safe out there because you're doing a serious job right now. So be safe out there.
Absolutely.
And,
thank you guys so much, you guys.
You know,
indeed. Yes, sir.
And keep Brother Hassan 15 feet away from a microwave and a Udo and noodle because you're not trying. He know how to break it up. He know how to make the break.
He had to build up, bro.
If we went ahead and had a show on how to master chef from a microwave, boy, we could kill it.
I made a meal the other day.
No doubt, brother.
Three oodles, a half a summer sauce, and some Gouda cheese, some green and white. I cooked my dough first with a half a roll of sleeves of crackers. My mother, I caught her doing it. She was looking at him.
All right, bro. Hey, listen. We gotta get to our callers. Hey, listen. Hey, Minhaj, I love you. I'm gonna call you soon, man. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, brother. I love you, bro. That's it. We do.
Oh, man. Brother Shadi was really, really, I grew up with Brother Shadi. He was really, Brother Shadi is from Patterson, 17th Ave. He grew up there. And, you know, it was very profound for me to hear him speak, you know, because he really touched the key on what he was saying. How do you know, how was you receiving that, Hassan?
Brother, I was receiving that wonderfully, man, because honestly, I was affected. I mean, just by the dialogue, right, the conversation that was taking place, man. You know, I got some real strong feelings about that because I understand that we've been under a certain systemic oppression that links us back to the days of us first reaching the shores of the borders of this country through the transatlantic slave trade. And honestly, man, I know that the number that was done on us is something that we still suffer from today. And so when I look at something like that, I realize that our women have been raising children without the agency of a man for over 310 years of chattel slavery and over 100 years of slave wage. Understand? So our women have been raising the children without the agency of a man, right? And what I mean by that is that we were never allowed to be men, right? We were never allowed to be men. And so a lot of those things was etched into our genetic DNA, our makeup, man, right? Because anytime you do something for centuries, when you do something for centuries, right, it have an effect on you and you don't even realize it, right? But they'll tell you about that in psychology. They'll tell you about that in psychology, and we deal with DNA and genetics, right? And so we've inherited a lot of what took place with us in the past, and we still have to deal with that today. We still have to, man. If we don't deal with it, you know, Dr. Joyce DeGruy, then she have what is it? Post-traumatic slave disorder, right? PTSD, right? Post-traumatic slave disorder, right? Our psychic trauma that we suffer from slavery, brother. So Like, that's a deep conversation, and that we can have a whole show on that, right? Like literally have a whole show on that, because it's a problem that's near and dear to my heart. It's something that we have to devise a solution to, and we're only going to be able to do that together, man. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel real strongly about what the brother said.
And Sister Krista, I mean, he spoke volumes towards what you you really put a good digestive on his out there on the floor for us. Like, how did that impact you?
I mean, just to know that, you know, I'm not the only one that sees the demise of, you know, how our youth is reacting to the damage we've done, you know, as mother
right.
and father, women in the household. You know, we can't just say our youth is out of control.
Okay.
We too have lost control, you know.
Mm.
And we can't just point mm-hmm. our fingers, because we too have to stand back up and take our right place back in the household.
And you know, I want y'all to know something. The brother Shadi has a podcast show also that comes on Wednesdays at 7:00.
Mm.
And I encourage mm-hmm. everybody okay. to please check out this brother and check out what he's talking about, because this brother, I'm gonna tell you something, this brother was a leader in our community. He was a leader in our community. I'm talking about a real leader in
mm-hmm.
the streets and what we were doing in the streets at that time. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. so, you know, I'm very proud to even call him my brother, you know, and to hear him speaking mm-hmm. the value that he speaks today. Shadi, are you still with us, bro?
Yeah, I'm still here. And thank you,
bro. Oh, yeah, that's true, man. That's true, yeah. That's what's up, man. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, me and Shadi are pretty much the same age. I think I'm a year younger than him. But, Shadi, you know, what's going on with your show? Like, what's happening with it, man? Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, I'm just, you know, just basically this is going on too much. I'm just, you know, getting the hang of it and striving to get more
right.
people aware of the show and doing pretty much similar to what you're doing, just getting the dialogue and opening up our minds to, you know, different possibilities and different solutions, because we all pretty much know what the problems are. Now it's time to come up with the solutions to the problems. You know?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's where it all comes from. Now the other part where the brother spoke on the slavery, I have also a different take on that. I believe they also did a number on us by making us think that we were everyone that came here was a slave. Now we gotta realize that we come from a people who built pyramids. We come from a people who had Timbuktu when they were living in caves. So that say that we wasn't intelligent enough to have boats and come here and be here before they even got here, you know?
Oh, right. No, most definitely. Most definitely,
so that's the thing. So one of the things that they've done to us in America is made us feel like this wasn't our land. So made us feel like we were forced to be here, not that we were here from the beginning. So that creates a whole different mindset in itself, because now we feel like we don't belong. Go ahead.
Let me add on to that.
For the people
who like to know and research that, what he's speaking on, there's a nation, a tribe, which you may know of, the country called Mali right now. But I would advise you to do some research on the history of that country and their navigation. They were one of the first nations to have a navigational site of being able to travel on the seas before Christopher Columbus. So you really need to do some investigation and learning about your people and where you came from. And one of those tribes, one of those nations was the Mali tribe, Mali nation. So check that out, everyone. Jason, you wanted to say something, brother?
Yeah, how you doing? Peace to everybody. I mean, I just wanted to, you know, I'm usually behind the scenes and everything, but it feels so good, like, to hear, you know, you doing your thing with your podcast and Shadi doing his thing with his podcast. You know, I mean, we all doing something positive. And I remember when you speak on 17th Ave, I remember we all was out there together at a young age. But I always like to make this give credit to people, you know, because we all were good brothers. I could
That's
a little bit off topic, but I could recall when we probably was like 15 years old, and Shadi used to be telling us that let's put our money together.
That's
You know, we was out there doing negative things, but he was like, let's put our money together, and we'll be able to own stuff just like you know the other people was doing. You know what I mean?
That's right.
But we didn't see it like he saw it. You know what I mean? We couldn't see it. But I always imagine if we could have seen his vision, you know, we could have been owning things and building more things in the community, you know, too, for the youth and for everybody. But what is more amazing is that what people probably don't know is that I don't even know if you know Malai, but the block that we hung on Shadi, on 17th Ave, like Shadi owned the whole block, all the property out there, you know, on the left side.
Oh yeah,
where we used to be.
No, I didn't know that. Yes, I did.
The same block that we hustled on, now he owns all that. So I just like giving credit, you know, where credit is due. You know what I mean? And just keep up the good work with the show, and Shadi, keep up the good, you know, with the podcast.
And see,
and
this is so imperative to me because, and Hassan, I'm going to let you speak to this after this is so imperative to me because people tend to not realize that even though we're in different demographics of where we come from Virginia to Jersey, Atlanta, California, let me tell you something, much of our experience is not different from one another's experience. You know what I mean? And the great thing about it, see, we didn't grow up with Bloods and Crips, but we grew up with avenues and blocks. You know what I'm saying? And one of the gentlemen that you're hearing right now, Jay Sean, Shadi, you know, they were leaders. They were leaders in the community amongst young men. And even though we were not perpetuating positive things in the sense of how we were earning money or getting, but when it came to, you know, like building our character and family, and, you know, we were tight-knit. We were tight-knit on 17th Ave. I'm talking about we were really tight-knit. And and a lot of these young brothers today, they're not getting that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and I think
it's
imperative
right.
for people to know. You see what I'm saying, Hassan? We didn't, all of us didn't get to where we are because we just lived an upright life and we did everything right. No, we went through the pages of wrong. We went through the pages of making the bad decisions and the bad judgments. You know what I'm saying? But from them bad decisions and judgments, we were able to grow and govern ourselves in a whole new way. As my brother Bun would say, Prince would say, you know, we took governance of our actions. We took governance of our decisions. We took governance of our behavior. You know what I mean? To rectify that. And Hassan,
right.
you want to build on that a little bit more?
Yeah, I do, man, because, you know, I believe that everything that you was just talking about is true. You know, a lot can take a negative and turn it into a positive, man.
Yes, sir.
And we know that through the essence of what's written in the Quran, you know, you know, if anyone is a student of life, they come to understand that everything that you go through, every aspect of struggle that we go through, no matter what it is, it's ordained, right? It's ordained by
yes,
the
sir.
Creator to build your will. This is what the struggle is placed there for. To build your will and to create the type of human being that goes through, you know, three stages. Man goes through three stages. It's the animal stage, right? And then he goes through the stage where he recognizes the law, and then he goes through the stage where he becomes that law, and then his soul is at rest, right?
Mm.
And this is what we're striving to evolve into. And so the struggle that you've been through, my struggle is akin to yours in the same way, brother. Like, we've been through the same pages, right? Maybe just a different
That's
author.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, we can all write the same book. We can all write a book about our struggle. We can all write a book about our experience on the inside, because guess what? It's going to be the same, but it's going to be different. You feel me? And that's the uniqueness about it. The beauty about how something like that and a struggle that you could go through like that could build you into an individual that you never thought you could become. You never foreseen this for yourself. You never foreseen this for yourself, brother. You didn't.
No, I didn't.
You could not have in the beginning. You could not have in the beginning, brother. There's no way. And so where we are now, man, is all evidence of what we've been through in the past and this is the real raw. We're giving it to you raw. Point of Impact giving it to you raw, man. We're not going to give it to you no other way. You know,
tell them about it, baby.
This is all we know. Yeah.
That's right.
This is all we know, man.
That's right.
This is all we know.
And, well, as we're coming into the closing of our show, it's only appropriate that we touch back on and let our mother of Point of Impact, our queen of Point of Impact, Sister Krista, you wanna nurture us in our last final words before we close out tonight?
Listening to you all talk, I've jotted down some words, you know, when y'all talk about the walk and going through. So will, faith, power, and then victory, right? Those are in that order. You know, you have the willpower to survive. You have the faith that you're going to get through it. You have the power. You know, you empowered yourself, you know, through the course of reading and educating yourself. And then look how victorious you all have come out to be. So I'm just, you know, inspired. I'm most definitely, you all give me strength. And, you know, I hope those who listen really listen and see that, you know, you all have went through it so somebody else wouldn't have to, that there was just a fear of what you all have, y'all wisdom.
Wow. Thank you, sir. Jay Sean, do we have any callers that would like to speak? Do we have any more callers that would like to speak, Jay Sean? Anybody before we close?
One second. Yes, we do. Hold on one second, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello.
Good evening.
Peace.
Good evening. This is Solution. I know of Jay Sean. I've spoken with him previously, and in fact, he invited me on his show. I would just like to give an unbiased observation. It doesn't agree with a lot that I've heard, and if you want to hear it, I'll offer it. But
sure.
You know, I don't want to just be contentious, but I want to be accurate if you guys are open to that.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. First of all, I'm going to start out with this notion. All skin folk are not kin folk. If you look at the African situation, I know a lot of people like to blame it all on the Europeans. That's not true. African chieftains participated in the slave trade. It was the slave trade, not the slave raid. And excuse me?
No, I said, yes, sir.
Yeah, but we never hear that. We only hear about the European situation. And you can even, a lot of people keep tabs on this. If you go to Chicago on any weekend, they keep running tabulations of how many people that are of the same melanated complexion that point a loaded weapon at another person of the same melanated complexion and pull the trigger and either wound or kill them. No one is making them do that except their own evil intentions. That's not the white man. That's not the brown man. It's not the blue man. It's them. So until they are willing to address the problems that are endemic and systemic within themselves, no one else can help them. And that's horrible what they do. I mean, they even kill little kids. And I'm talking about currently. I'm not talking about something that happened 100 years ago. I'm talking about right now. And so I applaud the men that are getting out of prison. I didn't say too much, nor mainly because I don't know too much. I don't deal with prisoners. I would always refer that to the people who are the experts. But I hear the people that are time in prison and who are now out and leading productive lives, and my hat's off to them. I think that's just wonderful. And so if you guys have a show about how to, you know, get ahead, I do know how to do that. I talk about getting out of debt. I talk about working a minimum of 60 hours a week, being busy. Leave the woman alone. The old adage is you can lose a lot of money chasing women, but you won't lose any women chasing money, and so or success. So I can certainly give some enlightening information on that because I know how that works. So I say 80 hours minimum for a healthy person. I'm sorry, 80 hours a week, 60 hours minimum in order to build up your wealth. Get out of debt, completely out of debt. The Bible speaks a lot about debt, and none of that is positive. So get the hell out of debt. What's holding many people enslaved is their own debt, their own activity. It's not the white man. There's a book written by Claude Anderson, and he talks about the greatest problem of modern-day people who are the only ones that identify themselves as black. No other group identifies themselves racially. They identify themselves nationally. But what Dr. Anderson says in his fine book, Powernomics, and also Black Labor, White Wealth, that the major problem facing people who identify as black is inappropriate behavior. It's not racism. Racism has been virtually conquered. I'm not saying there's no racism. There's even racism among people who claim to be victims of racism. Blacks can be racist, too, and many are.
Right.
But the point is, is he talks about inappropriate behavior being the greater enemy than anything else. Inappropriate behavior. Okay, go ahead.
And,
I'm sorry.
And, you know,
I said a lot.
What is your name? What's your name again, sir? Because I didn't get your name.
I go by Solution.
Okay. And thank you, Brother Solution, for calling in and giving us an objective view. I think that that was very, you know, enlightening and insightful for you to point out. But now let me speak to, because we can agree to disagree. And what I'm saying is this, is that I don't know if you're familiar with such books written like Willie Lynch. I don't know if you're familiar with Miss Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow. You know what I'm saying? But I would encourage people to read these books. Why? Because even though there was a slave trade, there was a slave trade, and what a lot of people don't know is that actually white women were traded in a very, very heavily portion of slave trade because they were considered a jewel, or like the Mercedes Benz, or in Islamic time they were called the Red Camel. You know what I'm saying? Because of their blue eyes and their coloring eyes, you know, a lot of kings and black African kings would want to, you know, have this jewel. Okay, so the slave trade was something that consisted of all nationalities of people at one time, but then when they were transcended over to the American building of America, this took on a whole nother page. And what we have to realize is that when we talk about the systemic slavery and destruction of a people, it didn't start with just the physical. It started with the physical and then expanded to what? Growing to the psychological mm-hmm. damage. Because there was you understand, we were never intended to be citizens. We were always intended
to
be product. You understand?
That's right,
and this is something that we have to
understand.
Hear me out, sir. Jay Sean, you wanna mute that? What I'm trying to say is that we have to hold ourselves accountable, but in holding ourselves accountable, we have to go to the primary issue of how do we get to this behavior? How do we attain this behavior? Behavior is learned. It's not something that you're just born with. It's a learned behavior.
Right.
So this behavior that you see demonstrated by a lot of the youth today and which has been demonstrated through the many years of black people and African-American people in this country was a behavior that was systemically placed psychologically to disrupt our growth. It wasn't never meant for us to be people of civil behavior once we were entrapped into the chattel slavery. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And when you destroy a people, psychologically, you demoralize them to make them believe that they don't have essence in life. You see what I'm saying? And this is what the practice was. And this is why our struggle is so great today. Because we do miss the boat. We miss the boat in a lot of ways. You understand what I'm saying? And it's not pointing the finger at the Europeans, or it's not saying that it's their fault. It's pointing the finger at the true essence of the problem. And when you start to observe what is going on now in the country where you have a lot of killing with black-on-black crime, it is because black people have been maladjusted, meaning that even though we grow in the sense of our innovations, psychologically we're still stagnated. You understand?
Mm.
And we're not progressing. Mm. So we're only falling deeper and deeper off the edge. So we have to, and you're right, our behavior has to be addressed. But that starts first with our psychological, and I like to give a shout-out to Nikki Tamara Pilgrim, because she wrote a documentary about the need of re-education for the black child in America being for the black child. When you go send a black child into school today, they're not taught about their history. They're not taught about the successes of their people being those, as Shadi mentioned, of pyramid builders and nation builders.
Mm-hmm.
They're not taught that.
Mm-hmm.
They're taught that they were uncivilized people. And you have to understand that, brother. And I feel where you're coming from, because right now in the day, we are more aware people, but we still have a lot of work to do in coming to recognize that humanity is where we come from and humanity is where we have to start to build. And when we start treating each other as human beings, then our humanity raises and our elevation raises.
Right.
But that starts back to, again, affecting the psychological issues of African-American people, and this country has ignored that. This country has not. When you see a person who's come back, for example, they talk about the veterans needing having post-traumatic stress. Well, I want people to understand that for over 400 years we have suffered from post-traumatic stress. Okay, and ain't nobody addressing that issue. Ain't nobody building institutions to help uplift the psychological and damages that have infected and impacted black African Americans. We still got predecessors who have lived through terms of slavery. You understand?
Yeah.
They have lived through terms of slavery. You got people right now who are 100 years old, 99 years old, who were raised on plantations, brother. You understand what I'm saying? Like, this is the actual fact. So we can't demean the fact that our behavior came from somewhere. It didn't just come from us coming here and just, hating ourselves. This was something that was engrossed in us to be the way that we are. You know what I mean? So I thank you for coming on the show. First and foremost, I want to give a very, very great praise of and thanks to our brother Minhaj Fonzo Dixon for coming on the show and allowing us to enjoy his enlightenment. And also, I want to give a big shout-out to my brother Shadi for calling in. Shadi has been supporting us since last week he called in, and I thank him very much. And, of course, I want to give a big shout-out to Mr. Solution for coming in and giving us an objective view, you know, to look at some other things that we need to address, you know, and I appreciate that, you know what I'm saying? So with that tonight, we're going to close. Sister Krista, you want to say goodnight to the people for us? And we're going to exit out of here, y'all.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to say goodnight to everyone. You know, there's way more things that's more important than money. You have relationship, health, time, fulfillment, and purpose. So don't make money your top priority. There's a lot of – the money will come when you other things. The wealth will come. So, you know, you could be wealthy in your mind and in your spirit before you think about your pockets. And I thank everybody, you know, for coming in and tuning on.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. With that, we thank you all for joining us tonight. Brother Jay Sean, you want to say something real quick?
I want to thank everybody for calling in also, and maybe if Mr. Solution, you know, if he called into the show a little bit earlier, you know, I mean, we could have some good dialogue on certain things. But I'm not sure if I heard him say something correctly or if he said that he's still on the line, but I don't know if he said that he doesn't associate with people who have been incarcerated. I think that's what he said. I'm not really sure. But
I think he said that he doesn't know many people that he associated that had, you know what I'm saying, been in prison. So, you know, I mean, that's what I got.
Oh, I thought he said he didn't associate with people who've been incarcerated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that he was saying that he exempts him. I think he was saying that in his circle, you know what I'm saying, in his circle.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I misunderstood that because, you know, I was just going to make a point, like, in the world, in the society we in, that, and when you work in hand, you never know who anybody is. You could be friends with somebody and they could have a, you know, a treacherous background and you might don't even know. But if you if somebody points somebody out who's been incarcerated before, and you might eliminate them from your circumference when you could be rubbing elbows with somebody who is more deceiving, or cultivating. Mm-hmm. You know, and dangerous. You know what I mean? That's all. That's the only point I wanted to make. But beautiful show, man.
I think this was a beautiful show. I'm grateful for, you know, the opportunity to be here and to do this. And I just continue to make supplication and ask Allah God to guide me and my co-host, you know, Brother Hassan Shabazz and Sister Krista. And our producer Jay Sean, because we are here to do exactly what the title is, Point of Impact. We want to bring to the point that we have to impact ourselves in one another in a positive way to enrich our community, to enrich our society. And we're talking to all human beings. We're not talking just to black people. Because I'm gonna tell you something, and we're gonna end on this note. When I line up for my salat, my brothers next to me, they ain't all African American. When I lined up for 25 years of my salat in the penitentiary, the brothers that lined up next to me, they was the brothers also keeping me alive and making sure that I return home to my mother and my wives and my family. So, and I just wanted to be clear with that. You know, we don't this podcast, we don't shoot shots at nationalities of people. We just give the direct talk towards the issues that are impacting people and understanding that, you know, there has to be justice. And the only till we have justice can we have equality and freedom for everybody. So that's the whole point. And right now, at this present moment, people of brown and black skin are the people of great deprivation in this country. And we have to address that because it's regardless of a person's actions, that them actions stimulate from something that is embedded in their heart and which has allowed their behavior to exemplify the negativity that it exemplifies. And our job is trying to make awareness of that so that people can start working on themselves and start looking into their hearts to change their hearts, you know. And so with that I say, O Allah, O change of hearts, make our hearts firm upon your religion and your deen. I mean, everyone have a safe night, and please take care of yourselves and be careful. And we give all praise due to Allah for this wonderful podcast, Point of Impact, and we wish you all a safe travel tonight, okay? Good night, everyone.
Peace.
Heartbreak, but every time that I see him, we talk, she take my breath away.
Wait.
Get a grip and start a